Fucking white boy. Stary sold my shit up. Knuckles all fat and shit. Side though, it's so good. Whipped his ass so bad, his stepmom's gonna feel me for the next 3 birthdays out this motherfucker.
Look what his homeboy did to the side of your head.
What you talking about, kid? This shit, he ain't fading nothing over here, though.
One ass whooping, man. There's still one.
How you figure that, man?
Look around you, man. They own this shit. They own this couch you sitting on. Them shoes you got on your feet. This building. This school. This country. You. We behind enemy lines, dog. One beat down and never compare to 439 years of captivity. Never. I don't know shit. Fresh.
Cooling at a party, no better than disco. Head feeling metal from a bottle of Cisco. Move. To crush your fire, sucker MC like Crisco. Give me the cue. Check 1, 2. Don't try to come off for me. Because you do do, mistreating me the Z to the D like a stepchild. Let me tell you, homeboy, you're living foul. MCs, you know who you are on the bandwagon. Why see? Cause you a star. This is a year when the joke is wild. When the fact can hack it and try to fight your style. I get hip to the scheme before it happens. If it gets wild, then I'll start capping. But for now, since everything's calm, relate to the matter as I drop the bar. Because I'm house.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give. In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
You on this couch you sitting on?
This show.
Them shoes you got on your feet.
Is brought to you.
This building.
By the fuck.
This school. This country. You.
That Father Teresa does not give.
All right. Father Teresa's wine cellar. Father Teresa, the greatest black atheist, Phoenix Kaleeder. This is Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kaleeder. Free Thought Thursday on Wednesday is what this episode is going to be. And it's going to have Ides from the Blackwashed program, which now in the iTunes, if you go to our program and you look at stuff that people listen to us and they also listen to, Blackwashed is the second one right after it. So bing, bang, blam, like it kept linking them until we are officially iTunes affiliated. And this episode, it's not really a continuation of what we did on Monday with the individual making the pedophile deal, and then their first comment was, "Yes, I'm serious." And then they delete it and say, "No, I was joking." And so I set it up, and you go ahead and knock it down from there. That's Phoenix Kaleeder and Ides.
Oh my gosh. Where do we begin? So we're talking about what? Problematic people and social justice? Actually, I hate the word problematic. Can we just talk about ancient niggas and social justice? Can we just say that? Is that a thing? Like, yes. Let's just be honest about it. Because there are way too many people who are involved in social justice circles. They want the appreciation. They want the fans. They want the clicks. They want to have the adoration. They want their GoFundMes funded. But when it comes to actual responsibility for the content that they're putting out or the people that they're endorsing, suddenly it's fucking silent. Like, niggas get amnesia for some reason when it comes to, okay, you said you're here for, you know, victims of child sexual abuse, but you're supporting somebody who fucking makes jokes about raping children, right? Or like you said, you're here for black women, but you're supporting someone who has a history of sexually assaulting black women. So, you know, what's the fucking truth? So, yeah, that is something I noticed and something that frustrates me a little bit in social justice circles. So, I don't know. Ides, what you got?
The first thing that came to mind is, y'all remember that, like, Mariah Carey meme where she's like, I don't know, suddenly I can't read.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like we watched that happen because so many of these prom queen activists, which I've decided to name them.
Prom queen activists, I like it.
Yeah. You know, as soon as the shit hits too close to home, they're like, oh, but I like them. Oh, but they're so spunky. Mm-hmm. Charismatic.
Or I think my favorite one is, I know them better than you do. You haven't been through personal stuff with them like I have. You don't know them. Like, okay.
But that doesn't mean that they're not fucking up hard and you shouldn't be making excuses for it. Because I don't think she was ready. Mm-hmm. She was not ready to have that hit close to home and have to deal with it. And she chose, like, the rape culture way out.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, extra interesting to me because this is a person, like, I mean, what the fuck, we'll just say names, right? So, Aisha, yeah, just fucking say it.
Aisha B,
fucking say it. Is somebody who's, like, has a significant platform, but their platform came up because it was, like, this is a safe place for victims of sexual abuse, this is a safe place for black women, and a lot of the posts were about, like, this is how black men abuse black women. This is how black women are sexually exploited. But now because one of your friends is making rape jokes about, you know, raping children, all of a sudden it's different. And it's like, but are we really down? Is this actually going to be a safe space for victims of child sexual abuse? Because, you know, I know she knows the study because she's quoted it before where they did the survey and found that over half of black women have been sexually abused at some point before they were 18. So, I mean, theoretically, yeah. If you have, you know, black women on your friends list, half of them were molested or raped before they were even fucking adults. So, you know, that is something that we all know, and yet we're protecting predators. It's a problem. Were you going
to
say something?
Yeah, she was also using her platform to try to speak out against trans misogyny and trans antagonism and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then in the whole situation, she lets her friend, Deva Love, the predator of teenage boys, I guess that they're just sweet, supple flesh is too much for her because she pops cherries, y'all.
Yep.
She pops cherries.
That's disgusting.
I know.
So, like, this is so fucking disgusting.
But she tries to, you know, in her, it's after saying it's just joking, which shouldn't fly, she's like, mm-hmm. Okay, well, I found this non-binary trans person, and I'm going to yell at them, like, how are you going to come at me about what I said when you want us to call you they, them?
Right, and like, wait, shitting on somebody for their pronouns. Yeah, that was fucked up.
Yeah.
And something else that I noticed, too, with this person who was talking about raping children, when they made a video, they were like, well, I'm bisexual. I'm not a rapist. Like, I don't know what the fuck being bisexual has to do with not being able to be a rapist. But based on the fact that you said you're willing to rape teenage boys and you're also proudly bragging about your bisexuality, I also now wonder if you would also rape teenage girls, you know? So,
yeah.
How does that impact things? You know? So, yeah. Yeah, so, like, there's a lot going on, and I find that to be a pretty common thread in a lot of social justice spaces, right? And the people who are always down for the drag, and they have the social capital, and they want to be like, you need to like this person, you need to unfollow that person, and you can't share shit from this page, are the first ones when it's one of their own who's like, hey, are you gonna, you know, deal with this person? No, I'm not. You don't know them like I know them. It's different. They didn't mean it like that. You don't know how they meant it. Like, all of a fucking sudden. And
yeah, she me. I didn't feel, if I felt like she had done that, or if I felt, I was like, it doesn't matter what you feel. She confessed to it, like, outright, was like, I like to fuck young boys, I'm proud, and just yucking it up. Mm-hmm. And then she did that thing where, it really makes me mad, because I'm seeing a lot of this all around the community, is if you question them and you hold them accountable, they're like, you're bullying me, you're gaslighting me, you're using your triggers against me, you're this, you're that. It's like, no, I'm being fucking real with you.
Yeah, which is a thing. How does please be accountable for your behavior equate to you're being unfair and bullying me? How did we get there?
It's the new shit.
And that is
new shit. These ain't shit Trump being activists.
Yes, yes. And, you know, something that astounds me about that, though, is people will be the first ones to say, you know, like, well, you're bullying me, or it's not fair to ask. That was the thing, right? It's abusive or coercive to ask somebody to unfriend someone or block someone, but at the same time, this isn't like a fucking petty, like, you know, I don't like this person and they like this person and you have to side with me because I just don't like them because I don't fucking like them, right? This isn't like, yeah. I don't like the way this bitch makes her greens, you need to block her, right? That's not what this is, right? This is somebody who's literally casual shit talking about raping children, and people are saying, telling me I need to unfriend a person who casually talks about rape culture and sexually assaulting children is unfair and coercive. But at the same time, when you look at social justice spaces, and I find this in a lot, not just particularly like social justice spaces, but just social media overall, is you end up adding people and end up with people in your circles because you have similar ideologies on certain things, right? So, you know, when you talk a lot about like feminism or black women and rape culture, you're gonna end up with a certain circle of people. And even if you're not necessarily on their friends list, even if you don't necessarily interact with them frequently, they're gonna be in your circles, you're gonna be in the same groups, you're gonna see each other. And what people are not discussing right now is how that plays into providing new victims for predators, right? Because when somebody sends you a friend request, you're like, oh, I don't really know this nigga. Like, I've seen them around, but I haven't really interacted. I don't know. But then you, like, you know, you click their friend request and look at their profile and be like, oh, but we have 45 mutuals. They must be okay.
Yeah.
Right? And all of a sudden, you are now, you know, you just invited a predator into your life because you assumed that because they were affiliated with other people in your circles that they were going to be okay. And, you know, I've seen that across the board. I've seen it happen in feminist spaces. I've seen it happen with black women's spaces. I've seen it happen with sex worker spaces. You know, different, you know, religious spaces where there are all these incredibly predatory people and other folks will not let them go. And so it keeps giving them more and more victims because they'll be like, oh, but you know, like in this case, it's going to be like, oh, well, she's friends with Aisha B. How bad could she be? You know, it's the same thing that happened with Timothy Bradford. You know, it was like, oh, well, but Timothy, I have like 65 mutuals with Timothy Bradford. How bad of a guy could he be? Right? Like, he's a fucking rapist. He's a fucking rapist. That's how bad he could be. So, you know, but nobody's talking about that. Everybody, it's coercive to make me unfriend people. And it's like, but what about innocent victims that are going to get brought into being abused, manipulated, possibly raped because you didn't fucking feel like unfriending a nigga on Facebook?
Yeah, that's how they feel. But it just straight up seems that they are not really in this for deconstructing and unpacking and all that, you know, everything that we like to claim matters within these circles that we're trying to speak out on. They care about having the platform and being crowned Afrocentric when it's prom queen. And I think that's the position Aisha eventually put herself in, getting so popular, and apparently just, you know, her standards and principles just stopped mattering as soon as everything hit close to home. Because she was on her soapbox at a good, safe distance.
Yeah.
You know, you're able to talk on that when you're at a distance and it's not affecting you directly, whereas, like, eventually you have to learn to really be about that life, and you can't have the missing stare.
Right.
And that's why I keep calling people love is the missing stare. And what that means is that all these people will, you know, hold space for a predator that they know is fucked up, and they'll be like, I know he did this once, but he's our friend. And so they'll figure out a way to, like, rationalize the things that this person does, who's the creep or the predator or the abuser in their group.
Right.
And then when somebody from outside the group comes in, it's like, whoa, you've got a missing stare in your house. You're like, are you insulting our house? Shut up about our house.
Exactly.
Our house is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, and just to bring that back a little bit, if folks don't know, somebody wrote sort of like, I guess, what, an allegory or a parable? I don't know. Metaphor? About a missing stair. And they were at, when they were in at university, I think it was university at the dorm, there was a missing stair at one of the houses, and everybody knew the missing stair was there, so they knew when you were going up and down the stairs at night, you had to be careful because there was this missing stair. But that was only widely known among people who frequented that particular establishment. So when a new person would come in who didn't know about the missing stair, they'd go to walk up the stairs in the dark and, you know, fucking fall over and break their shit and break their face because they stepped through a hole where they thought was a stair and it was a missing stair. And it was like, oh, I guess we should have told the new person that we have a fucking problem here. But we forgot it was a problem because we're accustomed to it. We have learned to work around the stair instead of getting a new goddamn stair. Like, what the fuck ever. Yeah. Sorry. Continue.
Exactly. No, thanks for explaining it. That was well done. Laying out, because this chick, and what sucks is it's like Aisha's acting like she's being bullied when asking to fix the fucking stair because she's not the only one on that staircase,
right?
And she's got this platform, but she's always talking about how cis women need to stand up for trans women and how women are all abused and gaslit and there's problems in kink and BDSM and all that. But as soon as she lets a predator hit close to home, all bets are off. And then it's like she knows she's wrong, that's why she's falling back in that manipulative, you're pushing me around language,
right?
And, you know, I've seen a lot of that even aside from her.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can't get through to them. They've decided, and if you challenge their rationality in any way, you're being abusive and coercive.
Yes.
Like, thanks for ruining the whole concept of abuse. Like, that's nearly dead.
Honestly, it is. And that is something that makes it difficult when somebody is actually being abused or coerced into something.
Yeah.
And they say that, and you're like, well, are you really being abused, or you just not want to be accountable for this thing? Are you actually triggered? Are you just uncomfortable? Right? We have watered down concepts, ideas, and words because people want to choose to use them to be manipulative. And, you know, like, yeah, we're kind of, you know, talking about Aisha right now, but it's not even just her. It's a huge problem. Right. Because, like, and I, you know, remember on William's page probably almost 2 years ago now, someone came on and was just blatantly lying about some shit. And William was like, hey, here's screenshots. You're lying. They said, don't tell me I'm lying. It's triggering to get called a liar.
Yes.
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
Yo, that was, that particular person, was, they went by Elizabeth Costello at that time. And, and I remember originally, in the little echo chamber groups, that person was like, I'm a white woman from Australia. And then that turned into, I'm a Mexican white passing woman from Australia. And then that turned into, I'm a Mexican native Jewish white passing woman from Australia, non-binary. And it's just like, you're full of shit.
It's Free Thought Thursday in the wine cellar.
And ironically, Costello was also a fucking rapist.
Of course.
Of course. Because those screenshots came out that nobody wanted to talk about, where Costello was talking about, like, when I have a fight with my husband, because at the time that this person was married to a cis man, and when I fight with my husband, he feels guilty, so I make him do body shots with me and engage in sex acts he doesn't want to engage in, but he'll do it because he feels bad because we had a fight. So, also a rapist. But,
oh, God.
Yeah, right? It was fucking horrible. And this is the thing, though, because as you start to look at more and more of these people who engage in this behavior, they have the same fucking pattern with the same kind of deny accountability of, it's not that serious, I was just kidding, I didn't really mean it like that. And then when that doesn't work, it turns into, you don't know how it went down, you weren't there, you don't know me. And then when that doesn't work, it turns into, you don't know yourself, you don't understand the truth, you're not woke enough, you haven't researched enough, you didn't get both sides of the story, you didn't wait to hear the facts, right? There's always that, like, next step level, and they always follow these fucking steps in perfect sequence every time. Like, I don't know where these abusers get their fucking handbook from, but they must all have the same one because they all use the same damn steps every time. And
I think that, unfortunately, a lot of the language that we use and we craft it with all our hearts in the right place, open the door for this kind of manipulation.
Yes. Well,
and it just laid that out for them. It's almost like we set traps for ourselves, because everyone was like, you have to believe someone if they say they're abused, and now everyone's using abuse to describe just being upset.
Yes.
At someone calling them out, or, you know, they were talking about being coerced and this and that. And it's like, no, you weren't. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. That didn't happen.
Right. And I think that... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, yeah, you can go on.
Because I was going to say, this is something that I've seen happening progressively, you know, as time goes on, but nobody wanted to have the conversation at the start of it because the people who have the power, who actually do the coercing and the manipulating and the abusing, they have the biggest platforms because they know the rhetoric. This is the thing, is when you want to abuse someone, you can't show up and be like the country-ass nigga who doesn't know how to speak right. You know, you can't be the ignorant-ass dude who does not have thoughts that are well-strung together and cohesive. If you want to be manipulative, what you need to be able to do is use all the buzzwords, use all the key terms, use them perfectly, because then you are the most woke person in the room, and by being the most woke person in the room, you're the most trustworthy. You're the most sincere. You're the realest nigga. You the downest nigga. You are what everybody else needs to be. And so these people have that social capital, and they have the power because of that. And the issue that then comes in is when you say, you know, I know this person knows the rhetoric, but I don't think their behavior matches up. People don't want to see it because they have invested so much time and energy into putting this person on a pedestal because they were the most woke person in the room. And now you're talking bad about the preacher, right? You can't talk bad about the preacher. You can talk shit about other congregation members, but you can't talk shit about the preacher. And, you know,
that has led us to being here. They get upset. And that's what they are. That's what a lot of these people are doing. They're getting behind a fucking pulpit, and they're preaching. They're preaching and preaching and preaching. And a whole lot of them aren't really saying anything new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, a good number of it is just recycled. They might be expanded on with their personal experiences, but... And then you realize that the way that they are preaching, because, unfortunately, Black people love a good preacher.
Yes.
That's just one of, you know, a big cultural flaw, just all around the Black community in every way. No matter what they do, they will always have psychophants backing them up, supporting them, saying, you don't need to listen to them, girl. You got this. You're a spit live. You don't need that. And it reinforces this idea that they can do no wrong because they're, you know, Pastor B.
Well, you know, and this is a thing, too, and I know people aren't going to want to do it because people don't like to be wrong. People have a very strong aversion to being wrong. But if you were to look at, say, like the women who follow Yada, okay, because he's a fucking preacher. If you look at women who follow Yada, if you look at the people who were caping for, like, Timothy Bradford, if you look at people who are caping now for, what the fuck is this person, Destiny? Is that this person's name?
Destiny Love.
Destiny Love. The people who are caping for Destiny, don't look at, like, the topical content, right? Because Yada's talking about, like, periods are unnatural and you need to be healthy. And, you know, this other person is talking about, like, well, I can't be bi and be a rapist. Like, the topics are very different. But if you look at the fan base, the allegiances are the same for the same reason, right? Like, you could take comments and cross out any words about health, menstrual cycles, and vegan, and put them in the people who are supporting Destiny Love right now, or people who support Timothy Bradford, and they wouldn't be out of place. The loyalty is the same across the board. Once these people have found the preacher of their particular denomination, they will not give it up, you know? And that's not something that's really addressed. And there's this power, and people become fucking tyrants with their shit of saying, you can't like this, you have to like that, and that whole thing. And it becomes like you don't want to be excluded from the club, so you can't get rid of them. When they do that problematic ass shit, you can't unfriend them, you can't block them, you can't call them out, you can't say shit to them or shit about them. Is that a panda bear?
Yeah, no matter what, it's sinners versus saints at that point.
Yes. And that's something that a lot of people don't want to address. But then, you know, the other thing, too, if you look, a lot of these people are fucking honest. Like, remember Amy Rebecca? Right?
That's another buster-ass nigga.
Like, Amy Rebecca is this white trans woman who, like, all I'm going to say is if you can afford your own apartment in that particular neighborhood in Chicago while transitioning on the job, you have a level of economic privilege and comfort that a lot of us don't have. I will say that. But also, this is a person who would literally come out and be like, who are we going to drag today? I'm going to drag somebody because I like to ostracize people from social justice circles. And of course, who's being... Right, who's... Yeah, it is. And who's being ostracized? It's the people that don't know the language well enough. The people who are new. The people that don't have the following. The people that don't have the support or the backup are being put out of spaces that they desperately need because they were a challenge to the authority of the person in charge. And people do not want to address that. And this is like... one of my very unpopular social justice opinions. I am tired to death of the impact versus intent debate, right? Where they're like, it doesn't matter if you meant it or not. If you step on my foot still hurts. And like, I get that. I feel you. However, I need to know what your intent was. Because if you did it on accident, I know if I tell you, just please be more careful in the future, you'll probably try to be more careful. If you're a malicious fucking bastard, you did it on purpose and you're going to do it on purpose again and I need to stay away from you. You know, that is something that is exactly. Not regularly discussed in these circles, but that's also part of the problem. You know, when it comes to people like, I just want to ostracize people, right? Or, you know, Destiny, I just want to make rape jokes. Timothy Bradford, I just want to rape black women. You know, fucking Umar, I just want to scam people for GoFundMe money. And Tariq, I just want to call black women Negro bedwinches. Like, you know, those people have malicious intent and they are trying to harm. But because they have the right rhetoric and the right words, they don't get called out because we assume they have good intentions because they know better. They know better, and that's why they're here, right? They know better. That's why they're here. They want to be predatory. They want to be abusive. They want to be manipulative. And this is the form that, or the platform they're using to do it. Because once they have the language down, they can do what the fuck they want to do. And, you know, this whole, like, we need to include everybody has backfired on us because in a lot of ways that's done nothing but put blood in the water for sharks. So now we have a bunch of fish surrounded by a bunch of sharks, and sometimes it's really fucking hard to tell who's who.
Exactly. In this community, like, the greater part of it is so fucking easily played. Mm-hmm. Like, easily played, easily jerked around, easily made to support and be psycho fans and everything. And that's how you get so many people who've done horrible things, but everyone's like, but I like them. So yes. I have to, what's that phrase I'm getting sick of? Hold space for them.
Hold space for them.
Like, I'm not afraid of that term. One more time, I'm just going to brain somebody.
I do not understand.
And then when you call them out for holding that space, like Aisha is for David Love, that's not what I'm doing. I'm like, that's exactly what you're doing. By the definition, you guys like to sling it around.
You know, then that's the thing about that, too. They want to be like, well, we have to hold space because nobody is disposable. And it's like, but y'all are quick to drag people who don't have the backing for very minor mistakes and make sure they never come back. So, okay, I see you.
Disposal. Which is, that is. Like, yeah, I've found a lot of people to say no black person is disposable. Like, they love disposing of each other and other people.
Yes.
And then they'll turn around and be like, but this famous person who happens to also be dark-skinned cannot be disposed of because I said so.
Okay, Azalea. Okay, Kanye.
Free thought. Yeah. Conversation. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that that is a big issue, too, because the only reason that these people aren't seen as disposable is because they're famous or because they're producing something people want. People, a lot of people still like Azalea's music. A lot of people still like Kanye's music. If Kanye was just, you know, some fucking nigga who lived around the corner from you, this space would not be being held for Kanye. It fucking wouldn't. You know? And people don't want to admit that. And, you know, it's just easier to go after people who don't have the backing, who don't have the power, and to abuse the fuck out of them. And I think that we need to reevaluate this whole holding space thing. And that is something that is making me leery about, like, the whole transformative justice
the hell is that? See, that's the thing. I don't know all that language. She looked over at me like I know. I don't know what the hell that is. All I know is keep it real and do real nigga shit. Can I do that?
No.
Can I just do, like, when I'm at work in the warehouse, like, can I just clock in early and grab extra pairs of gloves in case the white passing management puts a black woman on a area that's really hard and doesn't give her gloves? Can I just do shit like that and just do real shit in real time in the moment that doesn't have to have a fancy name? This is the name of it. Real shit. Two syllables. Everybody understands okay. it. No matter your academic level.
So transformative justice is a model people are trying to use to replace, like, the criminal justice system, right? Because we know the criminal justice system is fucked up, right? Like, you can commit a very minor crime and end up in prison for a very, very long time. People who are guilty of very heinous acts, particularly, like, acts against, you know, women and people of color. You could be, like, a fucking, you know, KKK member trying to lynch somebody. You could be a fucking serial rapist and they'll be like, but what was she wearing? But were his pants sagging? Right? And so, you know, you don't get your justice there. So this is, like, an alternative model. But something, you know, again, Phoenix prediction, just gonna put it out there.
Oh.
Is the problem with this model is it doesn't address the, healing of the victim. It's supposed to, and yeah. The idea is, like, the victim is supposed to come together with the person who abused them or victimized them, and you're supposed to come together and talk about it and find alternative ways outside of police and outside of the criminal justice system. I'm like, that's great. I support that in theory. However, the way I see it being applied has resulted in victims not being able to be angry or be rageful or not wanting to forgive the person who victimized them. So essentially what we're doing yeah. is, why the fuck does everything we do mimic white Christianity? Fucking everything.
Who we influenced by?
Fucking everything. So, and, like, those really fucking, like, out there, well, not even just the out there, even the mainstream Christian denominations where it's like, you need to forgive the turn the other cheek, right?
The other cheek.
You know, you need to forgive because God wants you to forgive, because being angry is a sin, right? So you're not allowed to be angry, so you can't be angry when somebody rapes you. You need to forgive the person who hurts you because Jesus forgave us, so you need to be, like, all that fucking bullshit. But it doesn't allow space for the person who was hurt to be like, I am angry, I am rageful, and I need to work through that and have that felt, appreciated, understood, and respected. And that is a lot of people who use the language of transformative justice don't seem to get that. But maybe that's intentional because they're fucking manipulative. I don't know. Right? But this is the same shit we see in, like, these fucking woke-ass black movements of, like, you know, black liberation, but at the same time, don't talk about how Timothy Bradford is a rapist because it's bad for the face of the movement, because he's a prominent activist in Chicago. And it's like, wait, so what's really good? Is this about black liberation, or is this about hide the rapist? What the fuck are we doing right now?
It sounds like a whole lot of hide the rapist lately. But, you know, the same people who will go off against hiding the rapist or Timothy Bradford are some of the ones who are like, she was just joking. So, you know, there's a whole lot of duplicity and double thing with the people, with the social capital, and it's intentional, you know. They want to keep their capital, but they want to also have the cake and eat it too.
Yes.
And they've got faith that a whole lot of women are still going to stick by them no matter how, you know, how much cognitive dissonance they display.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's like there's just almost nothing you can do because they will turn on the victim language, unfortunately.
Yes. And, you know, that's something that kind of trips me out because I think that people, like, feel like they can't say anything because once you've invested so much time into somebody, maybe you gave to some of their, like, GoFundMes or you, you know, took time to, like, message them when they were having a really bad day and you, you know, comment on their shit. You feel like you are close to them or affiliated with them. It's fucked up to be like, oh, this person was playing me that whole time. People don't want to admit that. They really don't. And so it's like, you know, you can let go of a mistake. Even if you made that mistake for a long ass time, it's still okay to let it go. Let it go. You know?
Yeah, and she should be let go. Like, I just, what made me mad about the whole situation, and it's not even the first time I've seen the situation, is that rather than owning that they're choosing to, again, hold space, quote unquote, and ride with that person or move forward with them, and they still want to, like, lie to us and everyone else about, well, they were joking. Like, no, she wasn't joking.
Mm-hmm.
There was no joke. There was a sliver of humor.
Yes. No, I agree. I agree. And I think that is, it'll be interesting to see, because this is something that just keeps happening. Apparently, we don't want to actually ever fix the fucking problem, I guess. So I guess this is going to keep happening. In like 6 months, we're going to have another one of these podcast episodes, probably.
Yep. Good, what is going on? And what sucks is, like, so many of us rode pretty hard for Aisha. Like, before her platform blew up, she was solid. Like, they exploded.
I am just going to throw out... When someone on social media makes a platform by saying controversial, inflammatory shit, even if they're not wrong, but still presenting it in an intentionally confrontational, inflammatory way, and they expect their fan base to cape for them, but they never cape for their fan base, this is what's going down. This is exactly how fucking Suey Park started too. Yeah, I said that. Yeah. You know, I mean, because that was the thing, because she'd be like, I'm going to say this, like, and, you know, I think that's important, too, because what, like, Suey Park a lot of times says isn't wrong, or at least back then wasn't wrong. You know, stuff Aisha says isn't wrong. A lot of things people say isn't wrong, but they are intentionally presenting it in, like, a, you know, instead of just saying, like, rape culture exists, I'm scared of a lot of men are a threat. It's like, fucking men, I fucking hate men, all men, blah, blah, blah. You know, fuck rape culture, you know, like a very intentionally chosen tone, because that is clickbait in its own way. And like, not wrong, but inflammatory. But here's the thing is like, people...
Meant to be.
Huh?
It's meant to be. It's like the slam to people, and they're obviously recognizing that pain and frustration in those that you want to have as your audience.
Yes.
And she's pretty good at that and present herself as really like, you know, low down, chill, pseudo hood chick who's reaching out to you, been to the same shit. I was gonna support and help people be strong or learn that it wasn't their fault and da 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 da. Like, that was her shtick.
And there's nothing
just, like, and I go on.
I was like, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's a good thing. But at the end of the day, when you look at like the balance of where the work is going and where the effort is going, it's like, you know, people like her will make a post, and of course, you know, like, all the dudes will be like, but not all men, right? And the fucking white people show up be like, not all white people. And it's like, oh my gosh, fam, come look at these people, come drag them on my post that I made that was intentionally inflammatory, which is okay, except then when these same people would then be harassed by these white folks or by these black men for defending her, she couldn't be seen in similar effort on their pages, right? There's nothing wrong with asking people to do work for you as long as you are reciprocating that. And a lot of people who come to be perceived as leaders or have more popular platforms in social justice spaces, there is not that level of reciprocation. They'll let you know when you need to show up to drag somebody for them, but they're probably not going to show up to signal boost when you're, you know, being harassed. And that's a fucking problem.
Yeah. And with the fingers, but no dragging on their page, like, that's like marketing, flat out. It's become marketing. So a lot of people, like, not saying that people don't deserve to be dragged and, you know, invasive, derailing people shouldn't get a smackdown, but they invite it, and they know that that is one thing that increases their platform, is if you've got drags and zero tolerance for this sort of thing, where you're intentionally making readers and your audience feel safe, and they want to, you know, they want to roll with you, and they know that if anybody comes around, they're going to get fucking dragged, and then everybody loves to see a good drag.
Yes. Yes.
So, it's like, that's like basic pro-clean activist marketing at this point, is the drag.
It is, it really is. And I, you know, I think that, because I think it's very cathartic, right, when somebody says some, just some bullshit, you want to be like, yeah, I'm going to drag this motherfucker, right, because online is one of the few places that marginalized people, especially, you know, we're talking about, like, you know, black women or people who face other marginalizations, can, like, go out and fucking drag somebody. Because you can say shit online to a white man that you cannot say in real life. Like, if some of the shit we say online when we drag white dudes, we said in real life, like, Emmett Till would be forgotten because there would be 5,000 other public lynchings. Because, you know, so I think people realize that. You know, so there is power to the whole dragging. There is power to being perceived as, like, you know, I'm fearless, I'm fierce, I'm just going to say what the fuck I think, I don't give a fuck. Even though at the end of the day, you do actually give a fuck. And that's why you can't unfriend your fucking ass friends. Yes.
They definitely do, but they know what expands the platform.
Yes.
But I will be right back. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, that's okay. That's okay.
That is a fair deal.
It's Free Thought Thursday in the wine cellar.
It might be.
Who took my glass?
Me.
All right.
I took it.
Oh, WineCellarMedia.com, and if you are tuned in, you can join in on this here conversation with 347-857-3937.
That's
Ides right there on the phone.
Oh, bank.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have a completely separate device open just to show me the phone bank.
Right?
And that is the only thing that will be on is on the phone bank. Right? All right. So, what the hell? Do we, I know we have news.
We always have news.
All right, let me, go the holy heck darn right on up here with them colored boys.
Colored boys? What?
Colored boys.
What is happening?
Hmm? Negro stuff.
You're black.
Actually, we can just go straight into, like, some of the headlines going on right now, North Carolina lawmakers, leave bathroom bill in place. Well, that was fast. There's probably more details to that. Europe attack sets off hunt for a Tunisian individual who had slipped Germany's grasp. Trump meets with Boeing and Lockheed executives after assailing them on jet costs. And, you know, that fucking faux populism. Like, if he actually was a populist, he would have met with fucking union leaders. Yeah.
Instead, he's talking shit about union leaders on Twitter and making them get death threats.
And, I don't think I said this on the program, but, like, you know, like, I listen to a lot of shit during the day. I listen to a lot of opinion shows and some straight news shows. And I listen to PBS doing straight news, and sometimes they bring on an opinion person. And the straight news people were reporting on one of Donald Trump's tweets where he just declared something without any facts.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, he's the president-elect, and we have to cover it when he does that. And then they just went to the next topic. The frustration, you know, and for us, Donald Trump is such low-hanging fruit for political coverage. It's like, we're going to try to get in other stuff, but fuck, you have to cover the shit because this fucking guy.
It's this fucking guy, but also, in all honesty, like, yeah, we make jokes about low-hanging fruit, but people do need to be fucking aware of what is going on. People lack awareness about things, and there's the whole, you know, the fake news, and then there's also, like, that shit Alex Jones does, right, where it's, like, half true, half false, and there's that shit Ross Story does, where it's, like, super salacious headline with kind of almost a matching story to go with it, like...
But I swear to fuck, that expired eggnog salad dressing looking motherfucker, like, he has made my job so goddamn weird. Like, I have to work harder.
Expired egg. What the fuck is happening?
I don't like him.
Expired eggnog salad dressing.
I don't like him. I don't like saying his name. I like saying other things.
On Reading in the Shade, I very rarely say his name. I usually say the angry orange or the hair crow.
The fucking mandarine.
Mandarin candidate.
Ugh. All right, real topics, real stuff. That's what happens when I get on the mic. The digression goes into making up words.
We have tangents and shit. We like tangents. We're a tangent-friendly zone. Wait, seriously, nobody's commenting. That makes me so sad. Is anybody commenting in the Wine Cellar group?
In the Wine Cellar group, I have not seen that. Yeah, I need to. Okay. Yeah, I'll go look in the Wine Cellar group while you two try to bring this thing back, right?
Bring it back.
Yeah.
Just like this, just like that. Yes. All right. So we were talking about people who abuse social justice spaces. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm wondering is how the hell do we, like, nip the issue in the butt and get everyone to be a bit more honest about what the fuck is going on? Because these people don't have consistency. It's like they get past a certain point with their platform and they no longer care about it because they don't have to. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think that is something, like, a very difficult conversation that people on the left in general need to have, is that, like, kind of essentially, for the most part, we're Republicans. Like, right? All you need is a nigga who, like, has a really charismatic way of presenting the talking points. And, like, you're fucking there. Right? Like, all these, we're like, how did all these fucking people vote for Trump? He's gonna vote against their best interest, and the Republicans are gonna cut Medicare, and they only want tax breaks for the wealthy. And we know this because we read things that are anti-Republican, but meanwhile, Trump voters are like, he's just keeps it real and doesn't do political correctness. That's our guy. But, I mean, honestly, in a lot of ways, we're the same fucking way. And I think that's just,
oh my God, yeah.
The human condition, right? You want somebody to give you your confirmation bias. And if they give you confirmation bias enough times, you'll probably overlook the other bullshit that they do and or say.
Yeah.
And nobody wants
well,
to
Well, it, that. Like, literally lights up the report center. It yeah. lights it up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good way to conceptualize them. These are, we're dealing with a bunch of little Trumps in this community.
Yeah. Trumpansies, yes.
Trumpansies.
Fucking, you know, one thing that you wanted to bring up, which, I mean, this is Free Thought Thursday on yes. Wednesday, and, okay, with the spaces, with the, and the safeness and the whatnot, language that people use to make you, to make you trust that one individual voice, so like ones that we mentioned, like Alex Jones uses mm-hmm. the language of, you don't have the info, you need to get the info, or like one he would do, mm-hmm. Like, and you like a sad thing is, like, there were probably folks out there who don't read that much, right? And I don't mean that, like, in a classist way or, like, some sort of caste system way. They just don't have time.
Right.
They just don't have time, but they hear yeah. some shit and they're like, that's different, and I kind of understand it and I dig it. So those were the people who are, by the definition of the word, ignorant, and they were gonna go Sanders or Trump out there in the Midwest because yeah. they knew that one of these two guys is not like these people that I always see that can't bring my fucking job back.
Right.
And so those people tune yeah. into Alex Jones, and Alex Jones is like, hey, you know, I think Bernie Sanders is wrong, but, you know, at least he's an honest man, you know, and he's talking to those people for Sanders and Trump at the exact same time.
Right.
And he's just saying, you know, like, if you come to me, you get the info from the info war. Then you go to Gusty Renegade with context to white supremacy, who also comes up in related content to the wine cellar. And he is a black isolationist. Like, he just wants black people to tuck away and hide and be scared and just listen to his radio show and not go out there. Like, you have to go out there and put in work or work won't get done. And to do that, you have to come in contact with white people. But he wants you to be scared and isolated and just listen to him.
So, I mean, I think that is actually one of the really big things, is that all these people who have their specific congregations, they require a certain level of isolation, because if you're not isolated, you can be exposed to outside ideas. And once you're exposed to outside ideas, they have lost their control over you. So you have to stay isolated
yeah.
and you have to stay in that community. And that is why in all these spaces, like, it doesn't matter if it's fucking like Alex Jones. It doesn't matter if it's some fucking like libertarian white bullshit. It doesn't matter if it's like black feminist spaces on Facebook. It doesn't fucking matter if it's, you know,
yeah.
like, it doesn't fucking matter. The biggest and most horrible, awful thing that can happen essentially is excommunication and being put out of the group, because that group is your safe space. Because they have convinced you that that group is the only place where you can be heard, understood, appreciated, valued, loved, and accepted. And those are all things people need. And
yeah.
people will do anything to have those things. And like, but once you move outside of our group, you're no longer afforded the safety and security of our group. So don't fuck up or we're going to put you out. Right?
Yeah.
Because Alex Jones says,
you also take your cancel too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you said the take your what?
You realize, like, the biggest weapon of this day and age, now that we have social media, is simple charisma.
Yeah.
You don't have to be honest. You don't have to come through your promises. You don't have to be consistent. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be charismatic.
Yes.
It's like literal glamour, not in a magazine fashion way, but the actual, like, way that the old Irish people used to talk about it, how it's actually a spell. You just, like, there's so much glamour.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Let's have that. That's what gets Trump in office and nobody challenging all the fuckery behind that.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be consistent when you're running these platforms and you're essentially being a demagogue at any angle of the political spectrum. Just mm-hmm. be charismatic.
You know, and on Trump and Stiltskin, you reminded me of something from the primary where, like, he was at a rally and, you know, adults bring their kids to the rallies and whatnot, which a Trump rally is actually not kid friendly, and but like a kid was there, and like Trump was about to go get in a helicopter, and this is what a reporter was covering, I think from like CBS or something or ABC, and the kid looked at Donald Trump and like saw that he had all this cool stuff, and he's a tall guy, he's a big guy, and he was like, and the child said, "Are you Batman?" And without even cracking a smile, Trump said, "Yes."
Wow.
That's the kind of people.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's something that a lot of folks don't grasp, or maybe they just don't want to grasp it, is that when it comes to people who have that charisma, people who are that charismatic intentionally, they're trying to sell you something, and it's probably not good for you. They're exactly. trying to do bad things to you. That's why they're trying so hard to sell you. Like... And they're like, no, this person really gets me. No, this person gets you because they need to get you. Like, yeah. This isn't, you know.
Exactly. It's almost like a cold reading. It's almost like they're cold reading people.
Yes.
Yeah.
You put out the right market debate, people are going to go, this resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially having their fortune read in these spaces and going, oh my God, you get me so much. And it's like, no, they're throwing out lines. You got to hook on your cheek.
Yep.
Right, or like Elon James White, the one that he uses, and he'll never define it, and this is one that he uses just to get out there, problematic. Like, yeah. That he has ruined that word. It means nothing now. All it means is, it just tells his audience, you're not supposed to like this because I called it problematic, therefore mm-hmm. problematic.
Mm-hmm. Which is extra funny, because have you noticed the progression of problematic in social justice spaces? It's gone from... This person is problematic when they say something that doesn't fall into social justice ideology, even if it's minor. And then it went to, someone is problematic if they are actively and intentionally and maliciously not getting in line with our rhetoric. And then it went to, someone is problematic because they are engaging in intentional abusive behaviors online. And then it was, you're problematic if you're intentionally engaging in abusive, malicious behavior offline. And now... Because nobody is perfect, everyone is problematic.
Yeah.
I'm problematic. Yeah. By the way, rapists also problematic. So, I mean, everybody's problematic, though. I mean, I've never raped anybody, but I am also as problematic as a rapist. So, just fucking whatever.
There's no scale. There's no bubble. There's no fucking scale.
Yeah.
That word's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah, and you know...
That word, holy space.
Yeah, I listen to Tariq Nasheed's program. Like I said, I listen to a bunch of programs throughout the day while I'm at the corporate plantation doing our own version of picking cotton, which is just food-like products. It really does look like that, too. Like, if you go there and you look at the conveyor belt line and you see all these, like, I mean, there are a lot of dark-skinned Mexican women there, and, like... And you're looking at it, you're like, they're essentially doing a new version of picking cotton as they pick stuff on and off this conveyor belt line. But digressing, right? Like, I listen to Tariq Nasheed's program. Like, we know that he throws out things like bedwitch. We know the misogynoir. But, like, here's his homophobic word. You sounded kind of moist, brother. You sounded kind of moist. Right, like one dude, like he said, like, hey, I'm a big fan of yours, man. I like what you do. He said, you sound kind of moist. Like, he just said, you're a public figure. You've been on Conan O'Brien. Like, people are gonna be fans. But like, he has to throw out something homophobic so that the rest of the audience can now laugh at him and ridicule this person. And who knows, that guy might be, you know, in the closet somewhere struggling with something, and you may have just pushed someone off to suicide so you could get a laugh on your radio show.
Yes. Well, because the fans are disposable. The fans are the product, and the product is always disposable. The profit is not.
So once the platform is completed and the capital reaches the top, they're all disposable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Damn.
That's what that is.
That's why people likewise, listen to
Chris,
Ives.
Likewise. And I think that's, you know, I think that's 100% accurate. And, like, I think one of the biggest tells of the whole thing is people cannot define the vocabulary that they use. So... What is problematic? Problematic is you disagree with me. Problematic is he's a rapist. Problematic is she beats her children. Problematic is I don't like your hair. Like, everything's fucking problematic. Yeah. Everything's problematic. What is problematic? Because the words problematic and everything are not actually synonyms. So what does problematic mean?
Probably not the mood, apparently.
You know? And it's the same thing. Like, you see, like Alex Jones does that vague-ass shit. Like, I have the info. I have the information. But then when you be like, so where did you get this information? I have the documentation right here. And it's something that says Infowars.com at the top. Like, you got your documentation from your own website that you made and post on? Like, that's not how information works. You know? And
it's
that. It is like, because it is literally that cult-ass shit. Where it's like, you know, you can't have the independent thought and the critical thinking because then they lose followers. Because, like, if people think critically and come to you, that means you have to say real shit that makes sense. You can't just be like, I don't know, black women wear weave and therefore the water in Flint is poisoned. Like, what?
But if they got enough charisma, people go, yeah.
I don't know how, but, you know, and that's another thing, too, is when you ask them and they can't explain it, they use very, vague judgments of, like, oh, well, you, like, yada, right? Black women aren't doing my alkaline, vegan, bullshit, malnutrition diet because they're not woke enough, right? They're too entrenched in European science, right? And the same thing with these no-taps, like, you know, I don't really think I'm into polygamy. I don't really want to have a sister wife. Oh, no, queen. If you were more woke and understood your conscious vibrations, then you, right? Because the fault can't be with me, because my theology, philosophy, psychology, world outlook is perfect as is. The problem is you. Yeah. And if you want to do better, you need to learn. And by learn, I mean don't critically examine the world around you. Just accept whatever the fuck I told you. Right? And that's what they do.
Was it you or someone else who told me that they went to the gynecologist?
That was me.
Yeah, that freaked me the fuck out.
Oh my god, y'all. Okay, I will tell this story. Because I don't think I did it on the podcast. I made a post on Facebook, but, I have a lot of inflammation issues, which leads to absorption issues. So, and in addition to that, I have a heavy menstrual cycle. So I'm chronically anemic. It's a thing. And because I can't, have enough intake of iron, I have to get iron infusions at the doctor. So I go to my hematologist. Because I schedule, you know, appointments every 6 months to get blood checks and infusions as needed. And so I go to my hematologist and I'm waiting forever. Normally this office is super quick, like, you know, you're in and out. And I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm fucking waiting.
Yeah.
And finally she calls me back and I'm like, all right. So I go back there, you know, like the CNA or medical assistant, you know, takes my blood pressure and all that and, you know, blah, blah. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and still waiting for the fucking doctor. The doctor comes in with two other people, right? And she's like, I have a nutritionist and a nurse practitioner and a gynecologist, right? And I'm like, why the fuck are all these people coming? And she's like, and we need to talk to you because there has been an uptick in African American women coming in who have been suffering from severe symptoms of anemia because they are doing an alkaline vegan diet because someone on the internet convinced them that it would stop their periods. And so she's telling me the story about this, like, you know, in her 20s, young woman, black woman, who she said her iron levels were at, like, a 7. Okay, so, like, your iron level should be, like, 12, right? I get fucking infusions when I'm, like, below 10. And so this chick is at a 7. And when you know, and if you don't know, you know, you need iron in your blood because that's what moves oxygen, it moves your oxygen around. So if you don't have enough oxygen, obviously your organs start to fucking die and whatever. Okay? So she's like, you know, she's in here and she's having, you know, like heart issues and lung issues and she's on all this medication and, you know, she's getting these infusions and she's getting blood transfusions and like this whole fucking horrific thing. And she's like, so it's really important that you talk to the nutritionist about having, you know, iron-rich foods, and you need to talk to the gynecologist about your menstrual cycle because your menstrual cycle is normal, and you shouldn't try to stop having one. I was like, what the fuck is happening? So, yeah, it was ridiculous. And she didn't say Yada's name, but I'm pretty sure it was Yada because she kind of leaned heavy on it was all black women, alkaline vegan diet, black man, fake medical practitioner, social media, internet. So I'm pretty sure it was Yada. Yeah. Like, oh my fucking... Just so you know, like, she really thought she could just stop her period, but you can't do that. You have to have a period. Like, you can talk to a gynecologist about some kind of birth control to stop it, but periods are normal, okay?
You're like, wait, please slow down. I'm not one of those. She's really sick.
Fucking Yada.
Yeah, and you know, all that stuff is from more demagogues, and he got his whole thing from Dr. Sebi, who was another charlatan and a demagogue and a mini-Trump.
Wasn't he also and a child Dr. Sebi rapist?
Got a platform because of Dr. Chris Welsing, another demagogue.
Yes.
There's so many black fucking demagogues who are killing us way more than whiteness.
Seriously. And this is the thing, too, is they were like, well, you need to fight against white supremacy. Like, nigga, you telling people to be malnourished on purpose. What the fuck are they going to fight? They can't even walk to a goddamn bathroom, but you want them to get out in the streets and fight white supremacy. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And on Frances Welsing, her, this is how she says respectability politics. She calls it immaculate behavior. And basically, and you know how earlier in this episode you said, why does so much of what we do resembles white Christianity? Part of her immaculate behavior plan for black people is black women and girls have to stay virgins through college until they get married. That's part of the immaculate behavior that's going to save black people.
Also, incidentally, as somebody listening to the podcast and also on my Facebook right now, because literally somebody just liked the Yada post about the hematologist's office. Like, I just got the notification.
Yeah, or yes. they might be listening to the blog talk feed.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. So, yes, I see somebody just liked that post, which was from November 30th, by the way. And I think that is a huge problem, though, within the black community, because everything we do is essentially replicas of fucking whiteness, because we have never existed as a people outside of whiteness. Like, which is kind of fucked up when you think about it, right? So, you know, there was the transatlantic slave trade, but ever since then, we, you know, the children of slave descendants and, you know, well, slaves and then slave descendants have never actually lived in a world where we haven't been defined by white supremacist standards. Like, we've never fucking had it. Like, there was no, like, there was no interaction with white people. There wasn't, like, we remember the first time we saw a white man. Like, no, that we don't have that. We were born into it, and that's all we've ever known. And consequently, it's very hard, I think, for us to model to create things that don't model white supremacy. And it's like, you know, when it comes, like, first of all, like, the black church is just, what the fuck? Come on. Really? You know, so we have this deep abiding love for Jesus for some reason. I mean, I know I'm kind of being an ass about it, but, like, Jesus was happy with us being slaves for a very long time. I'm not sure that's the deity I would trust, you know? But, you know, there's, like, an even tie to the Christian behavior, right? It's the whole gay is bad. Right, that's some straight up white Christian church shit. Gay is bad. Bisexuals don't exist. Women are supposed to be chaste and celibate and not necessarily enjoy sex. Men are supposed to be hypersexual all the time because that's what real men do. You know, something's wrong with you if you were gay. Something's wrong with you if you're a man and you're not masculine. Something's wrong with you if you're a woman and you're not feminine enough. You know, this entire fucking gender binary bullshit, this respectability politics, this is all rooted in whiteness. This fucking capitalism, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and if you don't work hard enough, you don't deserve housing, food, and medical care. You deserve to die because you're not producing enough labor for a fucking billionaire. Like, that is peak whiteness, you know? And it's like, we need to get away from that.
That's the funny thing about it. Is that so much of this activism, especially from black cis men, is they don't want to take any of that down. What they want is white patriarchy to be made in a black patriarchy.
Yes.
So that's why they're all so homophobic and they hate women and, you know, they still aspire to white patriarchy. So that's why I think it was on his last name, Stephen Sanders Jr.?
Yeah.
And he was asking, why are so many black men fans of Trump? And for the most part, a lot of women already know what's up. We're like, women and non-men are like, because black men want black patriarchy. patriarchy. They just want to, you know, they want to be in that powerful patriarchy position just like white men.
Yes.
It's like
yes.
they're not interested in liberation even if they spit it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so at the same time, they're also just extremely sexist and there's no way they'd vote for a woman because they hate women.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that's something...
Like they don't want liberation.
Yeah. They do not want liberation. Like, the idea of them of... wanting, like, they want to be Trump. They want to look at supermodels and celebrities, white women, white celebrities, and be like, I'm gonna grab her by the pussy. They want yep. that life. Honestly. And, you know, I think that
yeah,
that's the whole thing.
Mad because it's not given to them.
Right. Like, in a lot of ways, we never got off the plantation because these dudes are still on the plantation. They're just angry they don't get to fucking run it. That's it. They're not opposed to plantation life as long as they get to be the one who owns the property. And that is, you know, something that we don't address. It's like, capitalism is not going to save us. Homophobia is not healthy for us. This toxic masculinity is bullshit. You know, the misogynoir is killing us. You know, not just women, but as a community, it's fucking killing us. And they don't want to have those yeah. discussions because they're too invested in trying to be oppressive. Which, by the way, was another thought I had today. Because I know a lot of black men will say things like, well, I don't think black men have privilege over black women, right? Because, you know, we're fucked up by police and, you know, jail and prison and all that. And, like, we don't have privilege. And I was thinking about it because, you know, how there's all those posts from the pick-me's, right? I call them pick-me's. Those are the black yeah. women who are like, but it doesn't matter if you have a job because I'm not in it for money. I'm in it because I love you and want to have, like, a bunch of kids with you and be amazing and wonderful and yeah. black liberation and pick me. Please pick me. Please pick me.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. Go yeah. in. Go
okay,
in.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I was about to say, I would pick them just so to get them away from fuckers and just be like, did pick you and come and lecture you. Like, no.
Lecture you?
Yeah.
But I was thinking about that.
No, we need to talk.
Huh. Because I posted a video, and actually in the Wine Cellar Friends group, of a black woman who was like, made this fucking no-tep, pick-me-ass bullshit video of like, black men, I love you, you're gods, you're kings, I as a black woman apologize and want to, you know, like, extend the olive branch, and that's fucking bullshit. But it reminded me of the way black men talk to white people, right? Because that's how you can truly tell where the power dynamic is and who has the power and who has the privilege is how folks address each other, right? Because white women will be apologetic to white men and do that self-flagellation shit of a pick me because white men have the power. Black men will do that self-flagellation. White queens, you're so much better than black women, and you're so much more beautiful yeah. and graceful and feminine, and pick me, pick me, pick me. Please pick me. Right? So white women, because white women have more institutional power just because of whiteness, despite misogyny, but just because of whiteness, than black men do. But when you look at this shit like that, how many times have you seen a black man put up a video where he's basically in tears saying, black women, I'm so sorry for everything we've ever done to you. I love you. It doesn't matter if you have weave. You're gorgeous. You're not too loud. You're beautiful. You're graceful. You're feminine. I love you. I adore you. Please pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me. How many times have you seen a black man make some goofy ass pick, right? And that's how you know that it's black men that has the power, because it's black women begging for the pick me as opposed to black men begging for the pick me. But they'll ask Becky, Becky, pick me. Becky, please pick me.
Here's,
but they won't
cupcakes.
To a black woman. Cup. I'll give you cupcakes. Please pick me, Tomi. That motherfucker.
Yeah, and I get, like he works for Comedy Central, like he has to do his job, but it's like, and I was thinking about that, I was like, you know what, I'll take that job and get fired, because you get, those jobs, they pay you like damn near $100,000 a week, if not that.
Yeah.
You know, like fucking, like Rachel Maddow and those cats, they get like $150,000 every like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like fucking, I will take that job and get so fucking fired. Like as soon as there's a chance to do a story about a corporation they don't want me to do a story about, I'm going to do that fucking story, and then in when upper management comes in and they're like, you can't do that. I'll be recording that conversation. Then I'll go on tomorrow night and say the upper management person's name, fucking Bradley Fowler from management said, I can't cover that anymore. Hey, fans, why don't you go on Twitter and tell MSNBC what you think about that?
Yes.
And, you know, yes. And then get fired with my fucking three checks of fucking like $400,000 altogether and start a fucking online thing.
Seriously.
Like, I'll take that shit and get fired.
Hell yeah. I would too. Honestly, I would too. I would. But yeah, so that's like my theory. When black men say like, oh, black women don't have privilege, then why is it black women begging to be picked as opposed to black men?
All right, but before I play that video that you put up, I've been wanting to play this just because you go by Ides. I've been wanting to play this the whole damn time. Oh. See. Oh, can you see it?
Yes.
Just hit the corner store. You know what I'm looking for. Say that.
Yeah. That was like that was one of my first underage drinks. But then I would the store that wouldn't check your ID in the hood on 23rd and L Street, they usually had Miller Genuine Draft. Like that was most of what you could get there. They didn't have St. Ides that much. So I would get that and get my hair braided with no pain. Okay, the video. Bubba doop, boop, skibby, floopy, doop, bop, bow.
Yeah, this is fucking bullshit. This is some first-class no-tightness.
It's because they have that universal connection and no one else but us can understand it. Black man, you are...
Why does she put so much effect on her voice? What is this?
It's no-tap voodoo, not magic. No,
this is fucking weird, man.
It's no-tap.
And she's doing too much with the shit on her head. She's just doing way too much.
There's a lot that's too much in this video.
It doesn't even look real. Oh my gosh. All right, Miss Ma'am.
I thought it was an Instagram filter.
Yes! Right? The head part. Oh man. And I was just listening to the episode where we covered that O'Shea Duke Jackson and how angry he was with that. Because, quote, he's been studying hoes for 20 years, and he remembers when Weaves came out about 3,000 years ago, somehow. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Rhythm of the soul. Your melody, your beat worth more than gold. With you, I'm in sync to God and nature. You confirm this through your telepathic tongues. Black man is the original man.
Just because you black don't mean you can rap. These rhymes are fucking garbage. All right. God damn, this
it's
fucking...
because you don't understand her telepathic tones.
Man, this is coffee shop woke Becky poetry, man. This is fucking... This is Frappuccino funk, yo. Fuck this shit,
Frappuccino
man.
Frappuccino funk, I...
Scientists even agree that every other man comes from us. So why would I want a carbon copy? The black man makes me forget all my pain. He brings out the sun. When all I see is...
Yeah, I makes you forget all your pain. All right, go say no to one on it. Then black man makes me forget all my pain. Say no to his phone number riding the train. All right? Mm-hmm. That's my rhyme.
His sense of
humor.
What up?
This is the worst ever.
It's pretty bad.
You know what? And we're going to do the whole 2 minutes.
Humor takes away the gray, and he has color and sight into the day. You are my defender and protector, and in you I trust. Our love and our unity in a world against us is a must. That sexy, dark, melanated skin, so mysterious and delicious.
Man, alright, I understand. God damn it. God damn
you need
it,
your
man.
Face. You need your face on for this one, because you've been making some fucking faces right now.
I swear to fuck, like, and I get why people say black is beautiful, because you're going against those Eurocentric standards that been telling you you're ugly since you were a child, but within our own community, we all know that's Stank Breath David, that's Ugly Ass Mike, like, we know that shit, alright? All right, we're not all fucking gorgeous, okay? Like we when you get us all together in a room alone, like we'll pick out our favorites.
Yeah.
All right. There's a reason why we know Denzel a lot better. And like we look at Denzel, we look at Don Cheadle, we're like, I don't know. You know, like a Taye Diggs. Like Taye Diggs. That's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
You know, but then you look at a cat like Wood Harris, not as good-looking as Taye Diggs. Sharp-looking cat. You know, there's one I can't remember. He's a West Coast actor. Yeah, but all right. Getting too into it. Keep going. All right, some more of all right. Let's.
Her face upset me.
Like, I think she just used highlighter as foundation.
I think so. Like, it looks like a nickel. Like, she looks like a fucking nickel.
Nickelback. All right, let's get some more of that Chad Kroger.
Yeah, they think it's sin. They may try to steal, kill, and destroy our black man, but they sure ain't gonna win.
I like how she says our black man. Like, there's only fucking one of you niggas. Our black man. Just the one.
And she said they sure ain't gonna win. I don't know. I mean, most of the black workers at my warehouse are temp workers. Look at the prisons. Look at the fact that white people are everywhere. Anybody that even looks black is horrifically subjugated. Like, he's saying they ain't gonna win. Well, I hope halftime comes up soon, and I hope the coach gives a rousing speech in the locker room so that we can come back for the second half.
Is love and support you. Once and for all, make your dreams come true. Instead of screaming and yelling, you make your life crappy.
Wait, so a nigga's life ain't crappy until a woman screams at him? Are you shit? No.
So I have been told.
I'm pretty sure another one comes before the other. It's like, first you're an ain't shit nigga, then you get told about yourself. Like, it's, that's how it goes. Like.
I want to build with you. I can make you happy. I'm sorry for all the wrong I've done. And this is coming from my heart.
Who the fuck is you apologizing to?
For all the wrong that you've done? No, just that weird headband. That's really the only thing that I think you did wrong. And other than that, I think you're chilling, right? You look like you go to work and pay your bills. I think you're all right. Take back our ark? Is she talking about...
Nigga, I don't know what the fuck she's talking about.
Nigga, you Moses, nigga.
I don't know.
Fuck, is some of these niggas gonna put on an ark like fucking a three-legged pit bull? Like, what the fuck is going on your ark, nigga?
We need a lot of space for all the sister wives, man.
It's gonna be filled with mixtapes.
Mixtapes and OE.
Yeah. I'll get on. I might get on that ark. But then soon as you get on and start listening to mixtapes, niggas gonna be like, shit, man, I forgot to charge my battery. Fuck! And then I have to yell at you. And I'm not making life crappy. You didn't charge up, nigga. You're getting yelled at for a reason. Shit.
Consider this a covenant reaffirmation to put our love for one another back into protection. Let's be white supremacy's worst nightmare and take back our nation.
What nation?
What nation? Were all the continents of Africa one nation?
Yeah, it was called Egypt, digga. Read a history book.
God damn, wouldn't it be great to have, like, just to listen to, like, a Raven Simone and Sarah Palin podcast? Like, they should start that. I'd
Nobody
subscribe.
You fucking would, you goddamn weirdo.
Yeah.
Nobody needs that in their life. No. No.
Please accept this covenant. I, black woman, take you.
You ain't
the
only one.
To be my husband.
And he ain't the only one.
Wait, which one? It's just, I take you, black man. What, all these niggas? Alright, Queen B. God damn.
I'm like, first of all, how long has she been single? And how did it get to this point with her looking like a nickel? And saying this shit in a terrible video with her voice all fucked up, misspelling everything.
Yeah, it's like,
pick me.
Please don't end up in an abusive ass relationship like this, because these niggas is gonna come hounding. Like, I hope this is just a hustle for her. Please let this just be a hustle, and you have like a fundraiser up, and then raise up and bounce, because she's gonna end up with a fucking grimy ass nigga.
She's gonna end up with someone like Yada, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Mike Poole is gonna teach her how to do it right.
Fucking wife school. Yeah, I follow her too. Like, I set it. I don't have her to notifications, but I did set it. So, like, you know how that's one of the first people you see in your news feed? Yeah, I stays up on the wife school lessons. She gets her fucking misogynoir on.
And I want true love. I will cherish our friendship and love and honor. I will laugh with you and cry with you. I will love you faithfully. Through the best or the worst. Through the difficult and the easy. Whatever may come.
That's the same thing. Alright. The best or the worst. The difficult or the easy. You know.
But are they vows or are they promises?
I don't know. For the noodles or the top ramen. I don't fucking know. Jesus Christ.
I'm mad at all the silly shit she keeps, like, misspelling. Like, friendship. supremacy.
No.
I will always be there. We have been bamboozled long enough. Black coffee only holds us.
Wait a second. Did she spell bamboozled wrong too? Is that bamboozled? Is that? I think that's how you spell it. I don't know now. I think she's gaslighting me. Or she's coffee steaming me. I don't fucking know. Oh my God.
Separated, we support white supremacy. But together, we run the world.
We're not separated. That's why they're poor black
people. Mindful meditation music.
What up?
So what is this mindful meditation music?
Fucking, I don't know, man, and you know that it's not something original. Like, she wouldn't grab that shit off someone's website. That's just playing off a SoundCloud page.
It's probably on somebody's, like, fucking YouTube page of, like, listen to this meditation so strong it will open your third eye to calcify your pineal gland and realign your chakras.
Right, and light some funky-ass incense you got at Walmart.
Ugh. Ooh, Walmart incense be nasty.
It'll make you vibrate higher. Yeah. I think she's vibrating too high. She needs to slow the fuck down.
Yeah, or she needs to get a vibrator and stay away from ain't shit niggas.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah. Ugh. She sounds like somebody who hasn't had an orgasm even by her own hand in like 6 years. It's gotten bad. Like, she's parched.
So not moist.
Ouch.
Well, she needs to get a nut. Get a nut.
Ma'am, my back hurts. Stop it. Okay, 7 more seconds. She's got a good closer coming. Let's hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I accept so I can fucking mansplain to you some shit. God damn it.
Yeah. Pick me. But now, like, have you ever seen a black man make a video like that begging for to be the pick me of a black woman ever?
Even when they appraise black women, they do it in this really patriarchal way that includes respectability politics.
Right.
Well, you know what? The ones that do, like, because of niggas like the Monyes and the Timothy Bradfords and shit, fucking can't trust niggas. Like, there's been a precedent set that those niggas that do talk that good shit are whack, which is why, I don't post that stuff as much as I used to. I might post it, like, I'll be like, yo, me and my fiance are doing this or something political or a news story, but I don't talk about misogynoir as much as I used to because it feels creepy doing it as a cis hetero male now.
Yeah. But you know what? That's the thing though. I would say that, like, Monier and Bradford didn't. Like, they'll talk about black women in praiseworthy terms, but it always ends up with, like, and then I like to eat the pussy. Because everything Monier says goes back to eating pussy. Like, okay. There is no, like, come be woke with me and let's transcend to another level of consciousness and be perfect and soulmates and then eat the pussy. Like, they don't. Even, like, the woke niggas don't even do it. or even like fucking Bradford, you know, yeah, praising black women, but also within a context of what you can do for me. There is no like, pick me. It's I'm good enough that you should be begging me to pick you. Right? Huh. Like, yeah, that's the way they present it. Like, you should
They're signaling how great they are. It's basically, okay, I hate this term, and it was born on Reddit, but it's one of the things that they like to say about leftists is you're quote-unquote virtue signaling.
Ah.
And yet, if it could be, like, if I could just repurpose that, a lot of what those, you know, black guys talk about how much they praise women and they love black women and our black women is God and black women are, we should all be thanking them and doing this and doing that. It's their virtue signaling.
Yeah.
Oh, Max Vincent, somebody in the room said, so y'all bullying her because, are we bullying her? Did we take this nigga's lunch money? Like, what the fuck, are you talking about?
We're bullying who?
See, again, that's another one of those words, that word doesn't mean anything anymore, like, it's lost definition. Yeah. He just said bullying because he doesn't have, he is incapable of articulating his actual thought. What you mean to say is, why are we making fun of goofy shit that someone chose to say publicly on the internet? Well, off scratch, this is a half comedy podcast, nigga, and it's funny. I don't know if you noticed that. Nigga, you should probably go look at a lot of our audience, look at a lot of our shit. There's a lot of LOLs and ha-ha-has in our comment sections, nigga, because we're funny. You understand that, Max Vincent?
Well, I just want to know who her is. Is he talking about the woman in the video? Or he talking about earlier in the podcast?
It's either Aisha or it's the woman in the video. But, of course, I remember this Max Vincent dude. He's a big old nice douche knocker. He just wants to be piss and vinegar, but let's go ahead and play with him.
It's not being bullied.
And they know it. It's just accountability is now bullying.
Yeah,
and
bullying
saying somebody's wrong about this or cheesy or corny or is being dumb or damaging in any way. Now all you have to do is conceptualize the bullying, and then what he wants us is to be on the defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, you're fucking correct. Chill. Like, put your dick away. Sorry.
Seriously.
Yeah, or if you think you're right, alright, if you think you're right, go make a Blog Talk Radio account and then start asking people to fund you so that you can pay for a premium account, and then ask people to fund you so you can get a laptop, and then ask people to fund you and make content good enough that they find it worth funding you so that you can upgrade to doing video casts, and then come argue against us. Until then, you're just buster-ass Max Vincent in the comment section. You should probably block me, because I'm going to spend the rest of my life clowning you.
Yeah,
holy shit.
We like to be funny.
Nigga, you look like the... This nigga, Max Vincent, this nigga looks like the Hits Blunt meme. Nigga, you... God damn, nigga. Yo, this nigga look like Snoop Dogg middle school pictures, cuz. Nigga, you look whack, nigga. You suck, nigga.
Oh, yeah, that 5 feet is like, I'm guessing it's the only time he's ever been here, so now he's trying to... Oh, he's got the crying emotes. You know when they come up with, like, 6 crying emotes, they're on the defensive. Oh. I wonder how far he can be pushed.
Yo, I'm gonna put him a bunch of crying ones, too. I'm just gonna hit a whole bunch of them and swallow them across the screen. Ah, crying!
Well, you know, if he thinks we're bullying, he can always call in and explain himself.
He said you got 5 views. That doesn't count downloads of the audio, and you might want to go look at the other videos that are over 1,000 each. And then you also got to look at the fact that there's a reason why I only work part-time, because the rest of the time I get funded doing this. That's because I'm good at existing on the internet, all right? And you're not. How much did you make for that comment, nigga? Because I'm about to go buy some Christmas presents.
I want this guilt face dude to explain to me who we're bullying. Is it the black woman who is basically filleting him through YouTube? Or somebody else?
Oh, you know what it is? Or maybe, because, you know, niggas got to make shit about themselves. And I was talking about she shouldn't end up with some ain't shit niggas. And he's worried that she might hear me first. And then he won't get a chance. This ain't shit.
But
nigga,
I could have had ruins her life forever.
Question my ain't shit nigga validation.
I let a nigga call it, nigga.
Yo, you got colorism problems, Maxie? Is you like, yo, she almost light skinned and I think I got a chance.
I'll let him get him the number, let a nigga call in.
Oh Oh, yeah, I think yeah, you
yeah, yeah. Hey, hey, Maxi baby, yo, 347-857-3937. Come on, Maxi. Nigga, looking like a broke ass inspector deck. Nigga, come on, bring your ass.
I mean, yeah, he's got a built face, but that's mean to inspector deck.
Damn. Oh, but see, man, you know the funny thing, though, is dudes will do this. They'll come in and be like, why are you picking on her? She's just trying to be a queen, or she's just trying to, you know, be right and exact. But it's
if
like...
you're basically if, sucking my dick and you're cock-blocking. Like, that's what right, their condition is. She is literally sucking me off. I have a boner, and you're making... You have a girl that's, like, cognitive crap into it, and I'm upset.
Yes. And then, like, here's my thing, though. If what she's doing is that right, and we need that kind of healing between genders, go make your own fucking video apologizing to black women for all the shit black men be doing. Go make your fucking video, and we can all learn to get along.
But we don't be causing all that
drama. I want to hear the pick me, pick me. I want to hear the pick me from a black man, so get on that.
Pick me.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, and maybe he's a masculine type. Maybe he embraces capitalism. So basically, do the cis male version of classist pick me, and make your bank account worth picking.
Well,
I think he ran off. He dropped off the crying emotes and ran.
Yeah, I'll reload the page one more time and check the phone bank. You should have called in, Maxi.
It would have been fun. We could have had fun.
Shitting damn.
Mm-hmm.
This was good stuff. And I was looking for some... I don't know why. I didn't get notifications of the last couple of Blackwashed episodes. And when I was looking at it, one of them said final episode. What's the fucking deal with that shit?
I'm so sorry. Jasmine. Bless her heart. I hope she's listening or will listen. She had to go to grad school... So, we are on hiatus, it's indefinite. It may be the final episode, or we may come back, like, after the fact, or when she's on break or something. We really don't know. But in the meantime, myself, Victoria, and LQ are thinking about starting something new. However, on the flip side, I'm also going to be starting a podcast for the Dweeb Uprising.
Dweeb Uprising. Niggas is nerds.
Yeah.
What the hell? What's going on with the Dweeb Uprising? What's the idea there?
Oh, man. Okay, well, I'm trying to get into the meat of everything, because you know me, I spent, like, 6 years on Reddit, on Safari, just, you know, first arguing, and then being like, what's wrong with you people, and making communities to figure them out, or hold them accountable, or even just sometimes baiting them, or even pretending to beat them, and going in and trying to figure out what makes them tick. And I became, like, public enemy number one on Reddit, so much I got doxxed like 10 times, they could almost never get my info right. And I don't care anyway, because they never do anything with the dogs. It's just a scare tactic. But I feel like I watched from beginning to end, having first been, you know, on Something Awful and then 4chan and then Reddit, exactly how the fuck all of this worked to get here through gamer culture and nerds and white male fragility to the rise of neo-fascism. And just this whole backlash against feminism and the racism going mainstream again, even though it was mainstream before, but now it's just, like, cause celebrate. So the Dweeb Uprising is going to be me unpacking that, like, from the beginning and from every angle to how we get here, because I feel like I've done enough research and incurred enough danger hanging out amongst the Redditors as the Eyes of Light or Irby Trimmer that I can actually see the whole path of how we got here and what put us here. And the answer is basically white male fragility and ubiquity. It's not just fragility. It's the fact that they don't feel like they stand out. If they don't stand out, they don't have that white patriarchal power that they're supposed to be awarded with just for existing. And that, of course, is the pinnacle of white masculinity, is a suit and a gajillion dollars and a car and, you know,
right,
women and all that sorts of stuff. So I'm going to also be focusing on, like, you know, the black red pillars and those sorts of things and PUAs and incels and, you know, how the libertarian thing ramped up at first with Ron Paul and all that crap and how Ron Paul wouldn't have been there if it weren't for the creeping wounded LaRouche people before him. So what I call all this, which started back in 2004 or 2003 with the trolls, quote-unquote, on Something Awful in 4chan and the creation of B, the Dweeb Uprising. And so this in-game to the Dweeb Uprising is the right-wing take in fascism taking advantage of that, these people who brought all this in, and then us ending up with Trump.
Damn. Yeah. What, you know what? I want to say, like, when can this start? But I know how it is when you're functioning at the proletariat level. Once holiday season starts, you can't start shit new until January. It's not like we make New Year's resolutions. We just fucking can't do shit until January. Right. So probably January, February, are we looking at around there?
Well, the blog, I'm going to be hosting the first iteration of the blog on MZ simply because I know I can build there and get the audience I want that will possibly move with me if I go to my own singular platform. So, and plus MZ has a thing where you can get paid for your content and you can host your podcast and, you know, if you want to stream and everything else, it's like Reddit and Facebook but without the fuckery. It's great. Okay. So, I'm going to have that and I have to get an account to do the podcasting. I'm also going to be tapping a couple other people who were with me back in the SRS days, the shit right said days, to do that. And y'all can come too, and you should. Yes. We're going to just be picking it apart, mapping it out. And I feel like no leftist is really going to know how to stop or combat this shit unless they understand how we got here. Mm-hmm. And how we got here is a little bit more than white guys are obnoxious. Like, no, like, they spent their formative years steeped in fascism and ego-gory bullshit.
Jesus, fuck. Yeah, all right, this sounds fucking outstanding. All right, and you know, you just reminded me of something. Like, I was listening to a woman talking to, I think it was Monday morning on the way to work, and she was talking about how, like, she would follow people on 4chan to see what they're talking about and see what kind of shit they're on. And I guess, like, on the boards on 4chan, she said that, The moderators won't allow you to talk about child pornography, and so they came up with those things like, so child pornography would be CP, and then that would turn into, like, cheese pizza, you know, and that's how, and the foods and whatnot that they came up with to talk about child pornography became how they made the assumption of Pizzagate. So it's actually just pedophiles from 4chan and their projectionism onto other people, hoping that other people are like them because they know they're fucked up and should be killed in the face.
Yes, the entire face.
Yeah. And what's messed up about it is they cherry-pick and warp data so much to the point that there's people in this community, who I bet you know who I'm talking about, who full-on believe Pizzagate is a thing, even though the guy that they said started all and owns the pizza place, who is fictitious, by the way, his name in French means I love kids.
Huh. Yeah, oh, man. You know what? Yeah, the second time that I saw the Pizzagate thing, yes, it was, you know what? I'm gonna play softball. I'm not gonna throw the name out. Also, because I actually don't want to get blocked, because I think it's important to follow this person, because I think the fact that they share shit like this is dangerous, but one of those cult of personality niggas on the Facebooks, and they were sharing
the... Am I the only one who doesn't know?
Damn. Okay, well, I'll tell you off air. Okay. Yeah, like, they shared the Pizzagate, and their whole audience believes it, and they have a decent-sized audience.
Yeah.
All right. And they're one of the social...
And yet it's so easily disproven.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous. Made it up.
Well, I think that is one of those things that isn't addressed enough. And that is one of those psychological things. I'm sure that somebody knows what it's called. I don't know what it's called. But when you have a sincerely held belief and people provide evidence to the contrary, instead of going, you know what, there's facts and evidence that disprove what I'm saying, instead of saying that, you say, fuck you, you're wrong, further retreating, further isolating and clinging to my belief. Like, I don't know what the term, I'm sure there's a term for it, I don't know what the term is, but that's a thing. And that's something that needs to be addressed when talking to these people, because they, instead of looking at facts and changing their viewpoint, are going to retreat further into bullshit and go further down the rabbit hole with the conspiracy theories and the bullshit that they do, because they would rather stay wrong and intentionally intentionally and willfully ignorant, then, you know, change their mind. So, yeah.
There's extreme cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, man. So, let me think. You said it's that program is going to be the Dweeb Uprising, I think is what you said that's going to be.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know what? And, man, here I am putting my ideas on your shit, as a man should do. If you could add on one more word and you could acronym that shit, the Dweeb Uprising blog, the Dub.
The Dub.
Yeah, you could, and then, yeah, basically, and whenever you do a new episode, you open to saying, all right, I'm throwing up the Dub. All right, every episode I'm about to throw up the Dub on these niggas. So this is again, this is Ides from the Blackwashed program, which she quit doing on purpose because she wanted to bother me. That's a fact based fact. and Phoenix Kalita for Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kalita on the Facebooks, WineCellarMedia.com, and so I guess going into early next year, and you're already getting it started now, looking for the Dweeb Uprising blog and podcast, and you know, get like link us to that shit, and make sure link us and tag us and be like, yo nigga, share this shit or I'ma beat your ass, and then so I'll know what kind of danger I'm in.
I will let you beat his ass too.
That's messed up, man. That's messed up. You supposed to have my back, y'all. I wasn't ready.
you should have dated a hotep.
All right, and I should have dated a hotep. Because for some reason, by default, I'm beautiful just because of melanin. Bone structure has shit to do with it. Nah, that has nothing to do with nothing. All right, folks. Remember. So that's patreon.com/winecellarmediafund or paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam.
Yes.
That's how we keep moving forward, and we can keep on upgrading this shit. I mean, I don't know how you upgrade beyond video programs. I guess higher quality video programs.
A better mic, maybe?
Yeah, or another microphone, so we can have... Or lapel microphones
lapel
would be...
Lapel mic?
Yeah, we need lapel microphones. We could use a bigger apartment so that we're not using the bedroom as the studio.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, like you realize, like, because I take a nap before I do the program, and I have to make the bed before I do the program, or the blankets will look all messed up in the background, right? I used to have the tall laundry basket in the background, and I noticed that on a broadcast, and I was like, oh shit, my fucking dirty pants are hanging out on the camera. Like, so we need to upgrade. Thanks for checking us out, and thank you for coming on Ides from Blackwashed.
Bye, y'all.
Peace.
Awesome. I had fun.
Bye-bye. End episode.
That's funny.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.